Well, good evening. How are you tonight? It's a privilege to be able to share with you tonight. But let's pray before we continue. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can read it tonight, and we pray that you'll give us wisdom and understanding as we look at it. And I pray that we may know you better and love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it was a Thursday night. It was about 1 a.m. My math methods cat was due the following morning, or following afternoon at 4 o'clock. For those of you who don't know what a math methods cat is, well, it's not the meow type. It's the common assessment task type of cat. In other words, my major assignment for Year 12 maths was due the following afternoon. And I'd been working on it solidly since dinner that night. And I still had a fair bit of typing up to go when my worst nightmare occurred. My computer crashed. I hadn't saved what I'd been working on since dinner. I lost everything. I was tired. I was now very frustrated and very angry. I just wanted to go to bed, but I had to retype everything that I'd now lost, plus finish off typing everything that needed to be finished typing up. I wasn't a happy camper. And I'm sure I'm not the only person who has lost work on their computer here. But computers aren't the only way in which we can lose things that we have worked hard for. There are some who have lost money due to the global financial crisis that occurred a few years ago. There could be others who have lost, they've worked hard at their business and they've lost their business. It's gone under for whatever reason. There could be others who have lost their house. And tomorrow it's Anzac Day, and we remember the soldiers who travelled to other countries, lived in terrible conditions and gave up their lives so that we can live in freedom that we have today. When you've worked towards achieving something, only to see it disappear, it can be extremely devastating, and it's an awful feeling. And today, tonight, we're looking at this book of John, the second book of John. It's one chapter long, and as Beryl said, it only has 13 verses. There are less than 350 words in it, so it doesn't take long to read. And some people, they've even called this book of 2 John, along with Philemon, Jude and 3 John, one of the New Testament postcards, as it's short and to the point. And in verse 1 of 2 John, we can see that the author identifies himself as the elder. And after a quick comparison, we can see that there are a lot of similarities between this letter that we've read tonight and the book of John, 3 John, the Gospel of John and Revelation. So we can assume that the author of this is the Apostle John, and he was one of Jesus' disciples. And in verse 1, we also notice that John was writing to someone called the Chosen Lady. Now, we don't know who this is exactly. It may be the obvious, and John might have been writing to a woman and her children. Another possibility is that the lady is a church, and her children are the members. Either way, we don't really know, and I don't think it really matters, because it doesn't change the meaning of this short book. What we do know is that John was writing to Christians who were encountering false teachers, and John was concerned about them, so he was writing to them, warning them to be careful and to be solidly grounded in the faith so that they wouldn't be deceived from the truth. Now, when we look at John's life, he was an apostle, and we can see that he had worked hard in spreading the gospel message so that others could know the truth about Jesus. John, he'd been called by Jesus to come and follow him and to catch people. John saw Jesus in action, ministering and healing people. He saw Jesus die on the cross. John saw that the tomb was empty. He saw the risen Jesus, and he saw Jesus rise up into the clouds after he'd been with them for 40 days. And later on, John was imprisoned for the gospel, and John also played a major role in the early church in Jerusalem. John, he was quite involved in the spreading of the gospel, and now he saw false teachers who were coming in and destroying everything that he'd lived through and worked for. I imagine that would have been quite heartbreaking for John to see all this occurring. Much worse than me losing in an evening's work on a math methods cat. And as we look at this short letter, we can see that John, he wanted to warn his audience so that they could be on their guard and not lose all that they had worked for in spreading the gospel. And he does that by emphasizing the basics of following Christ. John, he talks about love, truth, and false teachers. And what he has to say is still important for us today, as Satan still uses false teachers to confuse and deceive the people of God. Now, before we look at this letter in more detail, I'd just like to set the scene, as it is helpful to know the setting for which this letter was written. In New Testament times, the establishment of the Roman Empire made travelling a lot safer and easier. And this helped with the spread of Christianity. And as a result, there are a large number of home churches that met together throughout the place. But it raised another question of where should these travelling missionaries stay when they visited a new town. Motels back then, they weren't like what they are today. In New Testament days, inns, they were the last place that you'd want to stay. They weren't very comfortable, they were often dirty and flea-infested, and the innkeepers, they didn't have a good reputation of being nice and friendly. And innkeepers, they often wanted what you had, and they weren't afraid to use force to get it. So as a result, when Christians were travelling around the place, they would stay with members of the local churches of the places they were visiting. It was friendlier, it was safer, and it was a much nicer environment to stay in. And there are numerous examples of where this occurred throughout the New Testament. Now, the benefit of allowing visiting missionaries to stay with you is that it was a great way of showing love, compassion, and hospitality, as well as helping others. But unfortunately, there were also those who took advantage of others' generosity. And as a result, these false prophets, or false teachers, they were motivated by greed, and they would travel around seeking free housing and food. And as they travelled, they also spread heresy and misinformation about Jesus. So that is the background to which this second letter of John was written. In verses 5 and 6, we read, "And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands, as you have heard from the beginning. His command is that you walk in love." So John, he's reminding his audience and us that we must love others. We must love one another, and we must walk in love. And what a big command that is. These false teachers, they were going around spreading heresy and misinformation about Jesus. And it's the same for us today. There'll be some people who will try to deceive us. There'll always be those people that we don't like and we find it hard to get along with. But we're not commanded to like people. We're commanded to love people. Now, it's much easier to demonstrate love to someone who is nice, someone who is lovable, and someone who is considerate. But what does John remind us here? He reminds us that we must walk in love. We need to show love to others. And this theme of loving others occurs throughout the New Testament. And John also reminds us that this idea, it's been around from the beginning. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 19, we read an old command which says we are to love our neighbours. That means we don't go around and seek revenge, we don't bear grudges, and I'll be honest, it's not easy to love someone, especially if they've hurt you or mistreated you. But here we read that we are to walk in love. We need to put love into practice. The chosen lady and her children, along with us today, we can show love in many ways. And some of those ways include by avoiding prejudice and discrimination, by accepting people, by listening, by helping, giving, serving, and refusing to judge. And as we show love to others, we need to make sure that we don't compromise the truth. And that is the point that John's making in verse 10 when he instructs the believers not to show hospitality to the false teachers. Yes, they need to show love and kindness and good spirit to those that differed from them. But they also need to hold firmly to the all-important doctrines of Jesus Christ, his atonement and salvation, to ensure that they didn't encourage these heretics and false teachers who are travelling around and spreading misinformation about Jesus. Now, we can't love without truth. We can't have love without truth. And John also talks about the truth of Jesus. And truth is referred to 5 times in the first 4 verses of this letter. And in verse 7, John says, "I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out in the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist." These deceivers or imposters or false teachers or whatever you want to call them, they were leading people astray. They were leading them away from the truth in Jesus. They were going around saying things that contradicted or opposed Jesus. Some of them didn't believe in Jesus and others didn't believe that Jesus had risen again. But John is reminding us that God is true. His words and his ways are true. And whatever or whoever contradicts or opposes him is false, deceptive and dangerous. Our second reading from John, chapter 8, reminds us that Jesus himself is the truth that sets us free. Jesus is the source of truth, the perfect standard of what is right. And he frees us from slavery to sin, from deception, and he shows us clearly the way to eternal life with God. And in John chapter 14, verse 6, we read that Jesus says that he is the way, the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus, he is the only way to God. And unfortunately, when John wrote this letter, and even today, people don't believe this truth. So John wrote this letter to warn the early believers that they needed to be careful of those who didn't believe it. So how can we guard ourselves from deceivers and false teachers? Well, by following God's word and reading it and studying it, so that we know what the truth is. Now, last week at Family Church, we had a kids' talk. We have a kids' talk each week in Family Church. And I thought I'd show it to you tonight. Last week, we had a girl. She was on the video. Someone recorded it. And she walked out in the rain holding her umbrella up. And she got wet. Why did she get wet? It wasn't open. But when she opened her umbrella up, she didn't get wet at all. She held it above her, and she didn't get wet. And that's the same with us as well. Like, we can have our Bibles, we can, you know, have them sitting on the shelf so that our shelves don't get dusty. But it's not until we open it up and read it that we know the truths that are in it. So reading our Bibles, it's important. So then we know the truth, we can live the truth, and we can proclaim that truth to those that we meet. And in our parish, life groups are also quite important. So this is a little 20-second plug here for life groups. Now, life groups or Bible study groups, they're great as they allow us to come together to encourage each other, but to also read God's word. We can study it and, you know, discuss it and get a better understanding of our Bibles. So if you're not in a life group, can I encourage you to speak to Trev at the end of the service tonight? Now, being a parent, it's not an easy job. We've got 3 boys and, yeah, boys will be boys. They have lots of fun together. But as parents, we also want to raise our children up so they know about God, so they know that God is true, that his words are true, and that his ways are true. And it's not an easy job. Our society, it doesn't encourage truth. So it's extremely important that we teach our children to know what is right. And the Seekers leaders on a Sunday morning, when they take the kids out, they do a great job of leading and teaching our children. And hopefully what the Seekers leaders teach complements what parents are teaching with their children at home about God. So we need to engage in the battle of truth, for the battle of truth, so that our children can grow up knowing what is true and how they can live as disciples in a world that doesn't always agree with God's standards. So what is the truth that we believe? Well, the Apostles' Creed is a great summary of it. In the Apostles' Creed, we declare that Jesus, he is the Son of God and the Son of Man. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He was crucified, suffered death, and was buried. And on the 3rd day, he rose again. He had victory over death and the grave, so that those who believe can also have new life. And he's coming again to redeem those who believe. This is the truth that we are talking about. And the Apostles' Creed, it's been handed down by believers from ancient times. It can be trusted, and it's confirmed in our Bibles. And in this letter, we can see how John encourages the chosen lady and her children, as well as us, to keep walking in the truth, as well as showing love. Now, this letter from John that we've looked at briefly tonight, it talks about truth and love. And as believers in Jesus, we must be committed to truth and love. So who here can remember back to their childhood days and going to the playground and sitting on a seesaw and going up and down and having lots of fun? Well, for that seesaw, for it to work effectively, you've got to have even weights at either end. Otherwise, one end will go down and the other end will go up. And this example of the seesaw, it's true in most areas of our lives. And tonight, as we've looked at 2 John, we are reminded that we also need to keep a balance between truth and love. John, he'd been with Jesus and he'd seen truth and love in action. And as a result, this dramatically affected John. And we can see that in his writings from the Gospel of John, the letters that he wrote, and the book of Revelation. And each of his books and his letters, they're filled with the theme of truth and love. And they are a vital part of a Christian's life. Love, it is important. But if we just focus on love, we end up compromising the truth and can become distracted by lies and deception. And if we just focus on the truth and ignore love, we can run the risk of becoming selfish and only looking out for ourselves. So my prayer for us tonight is that we'll be committed to following the truth and reflecting the truth, as well as being committed to reflecting love and acting with love towards one another. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. We thank you that through Jesus you have shown us how much you have loved us. And I pray that we will commit ourselves to being people of truth and love. Help us to reflect the truth and to act out with love to those that we meet. Help us to have a desire to study your word and to read it daily, so that we won't be deceived by anyone who comes along to distract us from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I mentioned earlier the Apostles' Creed, and it's a great summary of our faith and the truth that we believe. So I'd like to invite you to stand with me as we say it together and declare it.